It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of freedomsphoenix.com. That's freedoms with an S, Phoenix, PHOENIX.com. Somebody's listening. Our web traffic has skyrocketed. We are in record days. Yee-haw. And the reason is because you're finding out what a tool this thing is. You know, there's a lot there to be had for you as an activist, not a slacktivist, an activist. Now, what we're going to have on today, be calling in a little bit. He's on another show around the country, Sheriff Richard Mack. Now, Sheriff Mack, he and I go back, you know, quite a while. You know, we've been friends since, 94. And, you know, let's go. I got you there, Richard. You called in yet?
I'm here.
Richard, Sheriff Richard Mack from Graham County. Now, a lot of people need to know Graham County is the southeastern part of Arizona, up on the border and Mexico border. Does Graham County go down to the border with Mexico or no?
No. Cochise County separates us from the border.
And it's close, though.
Yeah, about an hour and a half.
So the thing is that Sheriff Mack was a Democrat as a sheriff in Graham County back in early 90s. If you weren't a Democrat, you weren't getting elected to nothing down there. And sure. So he's a conservative. Describe yourself. I mean, you've run for U.S. Senate against John Kyle as a libertarian. Now you're being courted by the Republican National Committee because of your book about sheriffs we'll get into. And so, you know, it's kind of what Dr. Paul was saying. You know, freedom has, you know, brings us all together.
Well, it does. And I guess it probably wouldn't be totally accurate to say Republican National Committee, but people who used to be high up with the RNC have definitely met with me. They flew me out to Atlanta, and we have formed a group that they feel will effect the change in America that we really need. And because they have come to the ultimate conclusion that you and I have come to a long time ago, and that is that there is no hope to restore freedom in Washington, D.C. In fact, in my presentations, I always say, if you think there's still hope to restore the Constitutional Republic from leadership in Washington, D.C., then I've got beachfront property for you in Omaha.
Then you haven't been paying attention.
Exactly. You just got off the boat from Tahiti, and you left 40 years ago and finally made it here. It's not going to happen. And another thing, and I've been reading the book about John Adams, and another one thing that he makes a strong point in there, and a lot of the founders said this, and history has pointed this out to us, and we, of course, refuse to learn from history in this country for some reason, but it is a stark reality that those who cause tyranny do not fix tyranny. The tyrants do not stop tyranny. And so this is the point. The corrupt Washington, D.C. officials are not going to fix the problem. They are the problem.
Thank you, Sheriff Mack. That's exactly what I think we've been screaming for 15 years as we've known each other. We'll get into your history when we come back after this short break. We got a short segment here. Then we'll have plenty of time in the next segment for you to share with us your entire history. And we are on the edge of our seat here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and Sheriff Mack will be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, on the RBN Network from beautiful Phoenix, Arizona on FreedomsPhoenix.com. Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. And another independence-declaring kind of guy, Sheriff Richard Mack. Now, Sheriff, you know, that's one thing. We always just call you Sheriff. I mean, do you still, you're going to be Sheriff forever? I mean, might as well.
Yeah, I hope so. I think I earned the title. You know, I was Sheriff for 8 years. And being the first and one of just a few that have of sheriffs who are sitting sheriffs, not former sheriffs like I am now, but who sued the federal government and actually won a case at the United States Supreme Court, a monumental landmark decision. You know, I think with that, I think I've earned the title.
I agree.
You know, now, so I love it when people still call me Sheriff Mack, and you know, they still call Newt Gingrich Mr. Speaker when he was on with Matt.
Don't Lauer, equate with him.
I'm just saying that they still call him that. So if they could still call
him, I still call him a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, so here we have. Let's go ahead and start with the history as we knew each. I'll give my 1 minute here.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember in 1994, we really hit the ground running. We filled the slate with top-notch, high-quality candidates for governor on down, all the state rate. We had 29, 30-something candidates in 1994 from a Libertarian Party Arizona State headquarters that we had downtown. We just rocked. And it was kind of the beginnings of our workshops, you know, like we have now. And we were very effective. And during that time, there was this little thing going on called the Brady Bill. And that's how we heard about you. You were challenging the federal government, saying, whoa, 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 unfunded mandate, and we're not going to, don't have the reason, you know, kiss it, and you went to the challenge. Now, during that time, we'll get into that in a little bit, but at the same time, here's Arpaio became sheriff, and man, he doesn't like when somebody upstages him. I mean, he's like, you know, this Richard is getting too much press, damn it, I need to go arrest some hookers somewhere or something. So, I mean, and you know what I mean, you know, and he's on your book. I couldn't believe it. No, we'll get to that too. We got so much we're going to get to. But the thing is at that time there was a, you know, they're talking about the MIAC report now and saying, oh, you know this Southern Poverty Law Center and D's coming out with this, you know, evil militia thing and so on. And what a lot of people don't know, that was done before in 94. You know, and during the militia thing, it was exactly the same thing. You know, Christians believing the second coming, there are cults and this Janet Reno and Clinton and post-Waco thing, and we got to go get those damn right-wing Bible thump and put them in jail, okay?
Yeah, and you're saying that a little bit facetiously.
No, that's exactly what was going on.
But it is exactly what happened. I want to make sure we make that point clear. This is not a fairy tale we're talking about. These were actually things that were going on.
Well, here in Maricopa County, there was, before Arpaio, there was, especially in Sun City retirement community here, they had the Sun City Posse. And what it was is that, you know, they're kind of, you know, reporting to the sheriff's department because they're not incorporated. They're not a city. You know, they wanted to, we're private. You want to talk about a libertarian enclave, there it is. They're going, oh, no. We'll take care of it ourselves. Thank you very much. We're not going to be having all this mayor, city council ripping us off thing. So Del Webb had this community out there they built and kept going. They're unincorporated. So we use that as an example, a lot of how a community could be. Well, they police themselves. And what happened was they used this sheriff posse as kind of a mechanism for communicating with the sheriff's office. Well, once Arpaio got into office, he learned from a lot of, you know, patriot types and so on, or tell him all the powers that he had. He knew. He was DEA. That's why he came, you know. That's another thing we're going to get into. Because drug war, we got so much to talk about. Now, what happened was Arpaio took that posse and used it as manpower because he wanted to stop people and he wanted to put a bubble around Maricopa County and stop every, you know, this is his dream, man, being able to have checkpoints and stuff. So what happened was they had a thing called Project Lead, and it was a Clinton administration, Janet Reno deal, to where they were anytime you stopped anyone, a traffic stop, any contact with law enforcement, they were filling out this form going, okay, who's in the car? What other cars, license plates are traveling with them? All the firearms available. This was a whole point, is they wanted to connect firearms with gun owners, and the only way that they could do it that weren't registered and so on is at traffic stops and stuff. And it was called Project Lead, and I'm like, what the heck? And one of the guys in the posse happened to see this stuff or get it to me, and saw the form and so on, and then we started, and it's a long story, doing BATF and so on, and finally I contacted you, and I go, Sheriff Mack, is this true? And you go, yeah, I got the forms right here. You sent me one of those forms so I could make out the number at the bottom. I called BATF in Washington, D.C. This is 94. We're doing a story in our Arizona Libertarian newspaper, and they were more than willing to tell me all about it, how it was gun control. And it was done with every law enforcement official that came in contact with everybody. They were registering. This was their goal. And to think that Obama coming in now, they forgot this part, especially with Janet Napolitano, that was a U.S. attorney under Reno, is now head of the Gestapo. So I'm going, what, you think these people forget this stuff? So then they had this MIAC report, this Southern Poverty Law Center thing back then, and on the top of that list, because Arizona was the first to have some kind of militia, which was our safe, Second Amendment is for everyone, when we were, and Sheriff Mack drew, we got so much to talk about. Well, what happened was, I was on the top of that list. The very top of that first list in 94, Ernest Hancock, Sheriff Arpaio, calls me and he says, Ernie, got you on top of the list. And I'm like, woohoo, I made it. Okay? So the thing is that all this stuff, you and I have gone down this road before.
Oh, yes.
And is there any difference?
Well, it's accelerated quite a bit now. Yes, there is a difference. It's much more bolder. It's much more in your face. The gradual and silent encroachments are no longer silent, nor are they gradual. This is tyranny to the 10th power. Back then, I didn't think things could ever get worse. During the Bush administration, I didn't think things could get worse, and they are. And just like Obama's spending habits have increased the national debt twofold, maybe more like fivefold. He has increased the tyranny tenfold. And this is right in your face corruption. The book by this lady, the cute little Asian lady, Malkin, has written a book called The Culture of Corruption. She even did an interview on the Today Show, even though they didn't ask her about specifics of the book. She's all over the place. This is all about the Obama of culture of corruption, and including his wife. It's out there. Everything is there. But the people of this country are now starting to wake up to all of this, and I think the revival of state sovereignty is going to put an end to a lot of this. But if we don't wake up and use it right away, then we're toast.
Now this state sovereignty thing you're talking about, you know, where the rubber meets the road, the defense,
right,
between the local law enforcement and the federal,
right,
who is the highest ranking law enforcement official? Who's the man? Who is that?
Well, you know darn well who it is, and I've written a book about that, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, because that spells it out. It's irrefutable evidence that the answer is the sheriff.
But, there's, you know, no, this is what happens, though. We had, you know, Arpaio was a perfect example. BATF, you know, had it on for this one guy that was a supplier to the military and undercover and CIA and so on, munitions. He made hand grenades and all this other kind of stuff. And for whatever reason, you know, he wasn't saying the right things. He was coming out going, oh, yeah, I can see where this is going. And they had to target him. They go into a community north of Phoenix here called New River. And just to make a show, instead of just going, goes, I'll go with my pickup truck, take the chemicals and stuff and equipment out and take there. Go to the legislature, talk to them, said, look, man, this is all just show. They shut that little town down for weeks. You know, just putting on a show, the BATF and their hazmat things, and we got to go and all this. And what did Arpaio do? He's directing traffic for them. You know, I mean, but he gets his, he gets his helicopters, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm just, this is, you have to have the mindset that you are not there working for the federal government. You're representing us. And that was the difference between you and Arpaio. He was DEA, Central America, and from Europe. He was a Golden Triangle up there, DEA, Central America. All of a sudden, from out of the blue, he comes up running for sheriff here. And I'm going, there's a whole nother story behind that. But I can tell you, the perspective was totally different from his view of the use and who he's working for, the sheriff's department, and yours. So I want to get from your mind, but you have Arpaio on your book. How did that come about?
Well, Joe and I have always been friends, and since we were sheriffs together 4 years, and as you alluded to, I was getting a lot of press, and then he was getting a lot, and he was doing a lot of things to kind of up me in the press. And he and I even joked about that several times, who was getting the most press, him or me. And I've told him about his book, The Toughest Sheriff in America. I said, Joe, you're first of all, you're wrong. You're not the toughest sheriff in America. You're number two. I'm number one. And the reason I am the toughest sheriff is you took on the prostitutes and the street gangs and the drug dealers. I took on the Clinton administration.
Ooh, you win. You win.
I win easy.
Top that.
Yeah. So, but the thing about Joe, the reason that he's on the back of the book is because he's great advertising, plain and simply. I'm not going to hide that. And I've told people that. And people say, well, is he a constitutional sheriff?
Heck no.
I said, well, no, he's not. But he's done. This is what I really like about Joe. One, I'll tell you when we get back what I like about Joe Arpaio.
All right. Well, I was hoping you'd squeeze it in 20 seconds anyway. It can't be that long a list.
No, it might take a little bit more.
All right. We'll throw him some props. Joe and I get along, but man, we know which battle we're on. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Sheriff Joe. No! Sheriff Richard Mack! Oh, I almost did a faux pas. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and a big, giant, humongous independence declaring kind of guy, Sheriff Richard Mack from Graham County, southeastern Arizona. Yes, I know it's faux pas jet. Fupa is when you really mess up.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead we'll go ahead and take some calls. It's due 1-800-313-9443. Yeah, they're pinging me here. A lot of people want to talk to you. 800-313-9443. Okay, tell me all the great, wonderful things about Joe Arpaio.
Well, and it really, to me, he really has done some great things. And it is this in this regard. He has shown the nation, if not the world, that the sheriff can be creative, that he is his own man, that he reports to no one else. He's not a bureaucrat. And that's what he said on the back of my book. And that's the part that he and I totally agree with, that he works by, for, and of the people. And I really can't wait till he actually reads the book that he endorsed.
Because he didn't.
No, he hasn't. Ernie, you already know. I don't pull any punches. I tell it like it is. Joe has not read the book yet. And it's only 49 pages, so I know he has time. And
tell me how the book is being used with the sheriffs. I know Mike Maresco had traveled, the Ride for Honesty, traveling for Ron Paul's message and so on across the country. And the reason is when they did this MIAC report and they're starting, this current one, they're going, hey, if you got a Ron Paul bumper sticker on it, you could be a terrorist. It's like the skit, of Farnsworthy, you could be a redneck. You could be a terrorist if you have a Ron Paul bumper sticker. You could be a terrorist if. And these guys put it all in their little pamphlet, and they had one back in 94. The FBI came out with that little trifold thing that we were the ones that broke that, back in 94. It was a trifold that they got from the FBI, and they put it in their little brochure rack out front, and one of the posse guys got that to me, too. And he said, look at this. And it was, here's all these people that we need to be watching for, all these constitutionalists and so on. And I'm going, wow, this mindset is so amazing. And you call Washington to talk to anybody, they were proud of it. Here, they're like, oh, it's like a secret. You know, so this has been the mindset. And as a sheriff during that time, you have to give us the perspective of how they were pressuring, because you would meet as a bunch of the state sheriffs would get together, and you guys had to be talking about this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. And this is exactly what we want to do. We want to train and educate our sheriffs in this country. First of all, and you know this, most sheriffs do not know or understand their power. That's another thing I've liked about our pile. He's been in your face with the Mesa Police Department. He was in his face to the chief. He has been in the face of the mayor. And that's another thing I really like him, because I can't stand Gordon. He's a little weasel. And
Mayor of
our
Phoenix.
Pile has stood up to the county commissioners. He stood up to the mayor of Phoenix. He stood up to the Mesa Police Department. He says, hey, I don't care. This is jurisdiction. And he even told, and he taught everybody, the sheriff, I believe this is Mesa, and it's in Maricopa County, right? So he has taught a lot of good things.
Well, that's one of the other things.
The stuff with the pink underwear and some of the other things have been all hype and stuff. But the thing of it is, if we can ever get, and he's 77 years old, so I don't know if we're going to be able to teach an old dog new tricks.
No.
But if we can get him on board with the oath of office and the Constitution, then he's going to be a miracle worker.
Well, it may be a lot easier with the Democrat Obama administration, but him and Janet Napolitano, you know, had kind of this detente thing going on. She was U.S. attorney that was investigating him for all kinds of stuff, and those went away as he would kind of semi-endorse her and back and forth and lovey-dovey and so on. He's a politician. So,
Yeah. You
know, I get it. And her head of the Gestapo is not making me feel all more warm and fuzzy about Maricopa County Sheriff's Department. So
no, it doesn't me either, and there's been some mistakes that he has made there. The first one that I really liked him on was when, do you remember the train derailment? It was way back when he was first sheriff.
Sons of Gestapo!
The train derailment happened, and of course here comes the National Transportation and Safety investigators. And he said this on the Today Show. He said, hey, if they'll just remember one thing, this is Maricopa County. This isn't their investigation. If we need them, we'll invite them in. If we need some other help or some technical support, we'll ask them. But this is the investigation of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office.
Now, and this is a very good lesson. I agree with you there.
It is.
This, when we come back after this next break, we'll be about a minute away, and then we'll have a long 18-minute segment that we can really talk about this, because
Okay. Your
book is what is being used by a lot of revolutionaries around the country to go one-on-one with their sheriff, saying, look, sheriff, good guy, guy we respect, Sheriff Richard Mack wrote this book about your powers, and man, it's more than you know, Mr. Sheriff Man. We know. We know what power you have. We are expecting you to defend against the military-industrial New World Empire order of, you know, that's going to come take away all our freedoms and such, and we have to have somebody. Where do we go? Where's the line of defense? Now, it's going to be you, or we'll sweep you aside. You're part of them. So, you know, I can understand the power of this book. Now, go ahead and give out some of the websites so people can start going and take a look during the break.
The first one is go to sheriffmack.com. The second one is go to USA1911, so USA1911.com.
And
that's the one I'm working with on the sheriff project with some of those former RNC people.
This is where the power is. This is how you have an effect. It's you. Don't be a slacktivist. Be an activist.
Right.
You get
That's
this
right.
book, and you go to your local sheriff, and you say, hello, got something for you to read. There will be a test. Well, we'll take that test when we come back here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and Independence Clearing Guy, Sheriff Richard Mack. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
The saddle again on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, 11 to 1, 11 a.m., 1 p.m. on the RBN network here from freedomsphoenix.com. Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com, Phoenix, Arizona. We are on with Sheriff Richard Mack. Now, one thing I did want to get into, I wanted to make sure that we understand that you're a druggie, man. You're a stoner.
Yeah.
Why are you a stoner? Are you a stoner?
I've never used drugs in my life except when I was an undercover cop.
And was that a requirement?
Well, it was. It really was. Now, because the only time I ever drank was when I was undercover. You have to kind of play the part. I smoked marijuana when I was undercover, and I did nothing else. You're not supposed to do anything else. But marijuana is a dime a dozen. They pass marijuana around in the bars. When you're sitting there at the bar, and I'm trying to, of course, get the drug dealers, you have to pretend you're in that culture and that you like it. And so when they pass the joint around, you got to take your toke. You know, that's all there is to it.
So you were an undercover drug warrior, okay?
Right.
Now,
right.
From that experience, you've gone to, you know, the other side, you know, law enforcement
Completely.
Against prohibition, you know, leap.
Oh, yeah.
You've went, you know, this doesn't work. I mean, tell us your experience and why.
Well, I'll tell you quite honestly, the drug war is a farce. It's prohibition. We learned in the 1920s that prohibition does not work, that it makes the problem worse, that it creates more violence, that it creates more allure, that it creates a black market where the most heinous and ugly criminals exist, and they make huge money pursuant to our drug laws. Now our drug trafficking is the biggest business in the world. It brings in $500 billion a year. It's how Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden and other people, all our enemies that want to destroy our country make money through drug dealing.
You mean like the CIA?
Al-Qaeda does it. Taliban does it. They all do it. And
now,
we fund it through our drug laws.
Now, this is one thing, you know, where I think Sheriff Arpaio came of prominence, you know, where he became, a tool for the man. And it was when he was head of DEA, he was a high-level guy in Central America. There was a gentleman that wrote a book called The Great White Lie. And that book came out. Arpaio was taken from memory. God, this is a long time ago, almost 20 years ago, that he was taken up and sent to be on Face the Nation or some TV. Oh, he's a disgruntled ex-employee that, you know, paying no attention to man behind the curtain. And that kind of gave him his taste for media, and then it went on from there. But the thing was is that what they were saying is that the DEA and the CIA and these guys are all part of the same thing, or some of the biggest drug dealers. And there was an event, there were two events that we were at where Sheriff Arpaio and his wife and myself and my wife were at the same event as speakers. And this is right after he'd been sheriff for a couple of years and, you know, took, ketchup and Playboys and cigarettes out of the jails or whatever, woohoo. And what happened was somebody asked him the question. They go, what's your role in this? And he asked about the book and so on. And he's like, oh, no, that never happened, and put it off. 2 weeks later, we're at a different event. Once people started having material passed out and that they really knew what they were talking about, he changed the tune and he said this. He goes, well, the CIA and the DEA had different agendas. And that's all he would say about it. And I'm going, you know, he knows. I mean, what do you know? You're an undercover drug officer and, you know, a sheriff and so on. How involved is the federal government in drug trafficking?
Well, I would tell you to watch the movie American Gangster with,
Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington, yeah.
And Russell Crowe.
It's pretty hard to watch, but they present some truth there, how they brought back drugs from the Middle East and the coffins of American soldiers.
Body bag.
And I had heard this and from right-wing nuts that I've been associated with, that I've seen at gun shows. I've had people in the military come up and tell me personally, I saw that going on. And I said, oh, come on, you know, don't give me this conspiracy stuff. You know, there's no way that our government would do something like that. Bringing in, and so literally, they show that very thing in American Gangster. And it's amazing how much truth is in some of these Hollywood movies lately. And I will just tell you the bottom line, that the drug war has prompted and promoted so much corruption at every level of our government. It has corrupted congressmen. It has corrupted senators. It has corrupted our military. It has corrupted the CIA. How extensive? I don't know. Maybe it's just a few bad apples here and there. I don't know. But I know it has caused it. And I know one thing. is that we are stupid in this country to believe in any way, shape, manner, or form that the drug war is reducing the availability of drugs. It has done just the opposite, and I will not support it. I'm sorry I was ever a drug warrior, but I have spoken out against the drug war. It is wrong. It is immoral. It has created money for the worst people in this world, just like the war on alcohol created Al Capone and other people just like him, and the Kennedys included. And we are stupid to think that that in any way is working.
Okay, let me ask you this question.
One final point. The drug war has only been the second worst policy in the history of America, only to that of the IRS.
Oh, and I could debate either way. I mean, there's the two-headed beast of the man. Now, this is the one question that I want to ask you.
Okay.
There is a gentleman, you probably know who he is, Chris Simcox, is running against McCain here for the Republican nomination for U.S. Senate. We know Chris Simcox, Minuteman, immigration issue on the border and so on. He was on the show. We talked for at least an hour in studio, and this is what he had to say. To solve the drug war, we need to bring troops from overseas to come here to go into our cities and meet head on the drug cartels, mano a mano, AK-47 to AR-15, and we're going to root them out that way. Is that possible?
I really don't think so. You know, why would we create a war like that in our country? Why would we do that?
Because it sounds good on TV.
Well, it might, and it sounds like you're really getting tough on drugs.
Yeah, how's that been working out for us?
But I think we have to, how's that drug war working out for you? We spend $70 billion a year to fight it. You want to come in and cause a war on the streets going after this? I really think Chris is misdirected there. I really do. I agree we need to be much more strict at our borders. And I'm sorry, that's an anti-libertarian thing, and I really like libertarian views, but not on our border. I believe that we need to protect our borders. I believe protecting our borders is constitutional. I believe we've got to get strict at the borders. However, that's not going to stop the drug war. That's not going to stop drug trafficking, I should say. What we need, first of all, is to address where the drug problem started. How do we address the issue? And have we learned finally that we will never arrest away the drug problem? So that's the first thing we stop doing. We stop creating the value of drugs by making them illegal. So first of all, legalization has to be part of the process. The second one is we stop filling up our prisons with drug addicts. That is completely and entirely counterproductive. And if you have poor people who can see that they can, for one day, can go make $500 by transporting some drugs from Tucson to California, and you can make $500 a day when these guys don't even make that in a month, it's going to be a temptation that is going to happen and people are going to succumb to. And I've seen friends of mine, a coworker here, where I work at Johnson Motors in Safford, is now looking at a 2.5-year sentence because he went and got some meth for a friend, and that friend set him up because he had already been in trouble. This is not helping anything. Sending this guy to prison for 2.5 years is a waste of taxpayer dollars, and he's a poor guy who very much struggles to make ends meet, and he saw an opportunity, and he took it, and he got set up, and he got arrested.
An opportunity created by the drug war.
By government.
And that's another thing. Having been behind the scenes on this, I want to ask you this. You know, we had Mark Victor. You know Mark Victor, attorney here, partner in Freedom Summit. He is, and Sheriff Mack is going to be speaking at the Freedom Summit. Go to freedomsummit.com. It's the first week in December, December 4th, 5th, and 6th, and Sheriff Richard Mack will be one of our presenters, and it's a great lineup. We have a lot of great speakers. Now, the one thing that he was saying, he went to Amsterdam, and they don't have things like meth. Meth? What the heck's that? You know, crack cocaine? What's that? I mean, because drugs are semi-legal there, and it's just not, in your experience, have these, they keep coming up with these new synthetic drugs, different versions of it. It's more compact. Sure. It's more potent. It's more whatever. Is that a direct result of the drug war, or are they just being creative? I mean, what happened?
I think it's a little bit of both. People are always trying to find cheaper and greater highs, and meth is certainly one of those. It's pretty cheap. You can just put a conglomeration together, a recipe together out of stuff you can get over the counter in most pharmacies or grocery stores. But the thing of it is, they use stuff that's extremely dangerous, very addictive, and deadly in a lot of ways. But if you show an addict he can get a cheap, easy high, they're going to do it. And again, sending that person to prison is a complete waste of time. And furthermore, the main point in all of this, Ernie, is that it's so corrupt that we cannot even keep drugs out of prisons. The most secure place on the planet, or at least in America, that is supposed to be the most secure place, we cannot keep meth, pot, coke, heroin out of our prisons. And if that's not indicative of what kind of a problem we're dealing with here, and how huge and monstrous and corrupt this whole system is, right there, that should get people to say, why on earth would we send drug addicts to prisons where they can still get drugs?
You know, I think the tide is kind of changing on this issue. You know, we've been screaming about it for a long time, and people starting to understand that this is just an enabling of the man. And because I tell you, who wants drugs illegal more than anybody else? It's the drug kingpins and law enforcement. You know,
well,
the scholar guys with the guns.
There's two groups of people that do not want to legalize drugs: the cartels and government.
It's a war against us. Now, let's go on to the Second Amendment. You know, I'll tell you a story to people so they understand where you came on this. We did a fundraiser during the militia scare back in early 94.
Militia bad. Government good, militia bad.
Yeah, because who was in office? You know, we had Clinton and Reno, and we had your effort against the federal government. And so on. So we did a gun raffle back then. Now it doesn't seem like a big deal, you know. But back then, we raffled off an AR-15, a Mac-90, and an SKS. We had the drawing on April 15th on the steps of the post office in downtown Phoenix, of which one of the tickets was drawn by a libertarian guy that, you know, set up the raffle and so on, a good friend of mine that later became state chair. The other one was drawn by Frances Barwood, which was a city councilwoman for Phoenix and a pro-Second Amendment person. And the other one was drawn by Sheriff Richard Mack, came up from Graham County to pull the winner of the AR-15. So, you know, the news media, they were, you know, cameras in faces. Do you really think that? And we go, yep, really do. And I'll spell it right. You know, it's just amazing. So this is the kind of, you know, support that you had open as a sheriff in support of the Second Amendment and people's right to bear even ugly magazine detachable pistol grip, black, ugly, you know, semi-automatic assault guns. I mean, you know, rifle. So I'm going, you know, this is how much better can you get? So what kind of target?
I thought it was kind of a beautiful gun, actually.
Yeah, no. It's all a matter of perspective. But how did that go over? I mean, what kind of your support of the Second Amendment, how much focus did they give you on that issue?
Well, quite a bit, actually. And my motivation for filing the lawsuit against the Clinton administration on the Brady Bill was mostly the Second Amendment. But we couldn't file on the Second Amendment because we had no standing as sheriffs, because the Brady Bill did not attack our Second Amendment rights, only that of our citizens. So we were exempt from Brady Bill background checks. All law enforcement was. We were the elite here. I hated that part of it too, and that really got on my nerves. So we filed on the 10th Amendment, the state sovereignty issue. And, you know, I can honestly say I was country before, you know, when country wasn't cool. I was state sovereignty and pushing state sovereignty before it became a vogue issue like it is today. And this case is probably something that everybody should read. It's documented. The main points are documented in my book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And everybody should get this book, just as you have suggested. First, everybody needs to read this. Then they need to make sure that their sheriff knows and understands what's in this. And I had a guy out in uh, uh, Texas, right near Fredericksburg, that presented, he bought a case of books and he presented a book to everyone in his sheriff's office, not just the sheriff. He gave it to every deputy, to every secretary, to every dispatcher, to every jailer, to the sheriff administration, and to the sheriff. And the and I've got a picture of it. And the sheriff is thanking him, and then I've got pictures, of course, of Michael Moresco handing the book as he bicycled across the country. He handed it to every county sheriff along the way. And this book, as you've mentioned, is becoming a movement in and of itself. And we are going to educate sheriffs, and we are going to target sheriffs, and we are going to find constitutional sheriffs in this country. And if a sitting sheriff right now, as sheriff, will not become a constitutional sheriff, then we will find a constitutional candidate to run against him.
You know,
and we're going to target 900 sheriff races in this country in 2010. Not Congress, not Senate, not anything else like that, not waste of time candidacies. We're going to target sheriffs where we can really get our freedom back.
You know, that's one thing. When we come back, I want to dwell on something else that happened inside the sheriff's department to demonstrate just how powerful and a threat they are to this central plan, economic and socially engineering me from wherever in Washington, D.C. They came after the sheriffs with this multi-jurisdictional task force thing. And I remember in the mid-90s when they did this, we understood what that was. Now, there's not enough time for you to get into it going into this break. We'll be in break here in just less than 40 seconds. But I want to make sure you think about that and give me some stories on this multi-jurisdictional task force. And it was when they bring in the federal government into your local law enforcement and the sheriff's department and said, guess what? You got some of our guys working with y'all. And this is what we're going to do. And you better be on board. Are you on board? And if you're not, then what happens? You know, well, we're going to talk about it. We come back on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Sheriff Richard Mack. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Sheriff Richard Mack from southeastern Arizona, Safford. This is the city that he was based out of, Graham County, and he was very famous or infamous, depending on your perspective. And if you got the big bad guys in Washington, D.C. thinking you're a bad guy, well, heck, that's just a stripe for a good guy. Now, the one thing that I wanted to make sure we got into, now, Sheriff Mack has agreed to stay on a little bit longer. If he has to go, he'll let us know, because he has a lot of people want to talk to you. You were doing other radio shows before we even got going today. And,
right.
You know, so if you need to go, you just let us know. I appreciate you staying on longer.
Well, let me just let you know my schedule last week in Dallas. I was in Dallas on Monday. I went to Frederick. They flew me in Learjet the next day over to Fredericksburg, Texas. Flew me back to Learjet in to Dallas. Spoke at the Greater Dallas Republicans Tuesday night. Flew out early Wednesday morning to be on the Judge Napolitano show on Fox News. Stayed there and worked a couple of days. Then flew to L.A. on Saturday morning. Spoke there in the afternoon for a fundraiser for Bill Hunt, who is trying to be a constitutional sheriff. Then on Sunday, I spoke in Burbank, and then flew home early yesterday morning. And so my schedule has been pretty crazy.
And
I speak in, if anybody's in the Sholo area, I speak at the Creekside little restaurant place right next to the Sholo City Hall, and I'm speaking there with Karen Johnson tonight at 7 o'clock.
Oh, that'd rock. Very cool. Sholo is in northeastern Arizona. Karen Johnson is a state senator here that, behind the scenes we worked with quite a bit. A lot of people, don't realize how much we do have a little bit of input on, legislation here in the state. Because, if they knew that we wrote it or had anything to do with it or were pushing something, oh, heck no. We're not giving those libertarians any amount of our time. But some of their favorite bills we were intimately involved in.
But there is one thing we can say about Karen Johnson. She was a constitutional official.
Yes. And now the thing is that Karen was not afraid. And that's very, now she still played. I mean, you know, she would work with whatever to get what she thought net benefit of, you know, but she didn't, she didn't trade away anything. You know, we were really hoping, and she may still, you know, she hasn't closed it down yet, but we're trying to get her to run for governor here in Arizona. And we'd make sure she'd get on the ballot, even as a Republican, and we'll still run libertarians against her, but gosh darn it, we'd need her voice in there. And so hopefully you can encourage her on that. You know, the one thing I did want to get back to is this multi-jurisdictional task force thing.
Right, right.
And I want to make sure that we get how that started, when it started, the effect, the goal, what that was. Go ahead and talk about that.
Well, the thing of it is, the Brady bill seemed to kind of take that same approach. How many sheriffs are going to come on board with this? How many sheriffs, if we even threaten to arrest sheriffs if they don't comply with this? Again, no money, an unfunded mandate. But the worst part of it, it was an unconstitutional mandate, forcing us to, and Scalia even says this in the decision. That's what's so powerful about all this, is that how many sheriffs are going to object when we force them to participate in an unconstitutional federal gun control scheme? How many are going to object? How many are going to say no? And there was a sheriff, Ray Nixon, in Montana, who simply said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not joining the lawsuit with Prince and Mack. I'm just not going to do it. Let me see what you're going to do about that, federal government. And he was right. That's what we should have done as a sheriff's association when the BATF brought us our marching orders, and I still have that document that they gave us. And they said, here, these are your marching orders. And we should have just said, take your marching orders and buzz off back to Washington, D.C. And that's what the sheriff should be doing to a lot of rules and laws from the federal government today.
Oh, right now.
When tell them to get out.
When we come back, we got a short break. It's only a minute. We'll be right back and pick up on the multi-jurisdictional task force thing. You want to know and understand this. We'll be right back.
Ernie, I got to take about a 3-minute break.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back.